Now, we know what it means to have people like us. We're all trying to get people to like us. Yeah? Make a nice impression. But it's not sufficient. You have to up the ante a bit and get him to love you. If you want to get the idea, all of us have taken a plane ride. Yeah? You remember when you land, over the intercom comes a message. The captain and the crew want you to know how much pleasure they had in your company and how much pleasure it was to serve you. You remember those messages? Huh? Did you ever wonder if the captain knew that you were aboard? How he enjoyed your trip? Huh? Did you ever wonder why does he do that? What are they interested in? They want you to feel that they enjoyed your company so that what? That you like them, yeah? And that you'll use them again. A big business has learned to use this. Yeah? Insurance companies and department stores, they spend an awful lot of money to make you like them. It pays. Friend, as far as you're concerned, you're the only business you got. Yeah? So it's big business. You want to live, you're going to get a heck of a lot more out of life. You can use the same tactics. You can get people to love you. Do you understand that? Now, they're doing it manipulation. Somehow it works. I guess humanity is starved for a little appreciation. Otherwise, for goodness sake, I mean, do you believe them? Or the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company sends you a birthday card. Do you really think that they've had you in mind? Yeah? At the same time, it works. There must be something there, a power. Let's try to find out what the power is and how to use it. We're up to number 30. Number 30 of the 48 ways is Ahuv. Now, what does Ahuv mean? It comes from the word Ahava, love. Ahuv is to be loved. To be loved by others. You have to learn to master the technique of getting people to love you. Okay, so how do we go about this? Number one is, first, you've got to make that decision, an inner decision, that you need to do it. You have to have people love you, because otherwise you're not going to go out and make the effort. B of this is, and I'll help to give it a little more force, is that we naturally want and desire to be liked and to be loved. Accept that. It's not against your nature. It's going with you. And number two of this is, now, before we go on to know how to do it, first we've got to have a clarity and a caution. The idea is to be loved, not to be admired. If you're out to impress people, you're on the wrong wavelength. Do you see the difference? We go around boasting, impressing people, and we don't get liked. Yeah? You want to be liked, you want to be loved, not admired. Number three is, in order to get a good hold of doing this, you got to define what is love. And we're fortunate that we have heritage that gives us definitions for basic things like this. You know, you go in Western civilization, you ask for a definition of love and they'll write poems. But a definition is a little hard to come by. So the definition of love is that it's an emotion of pleasure that we have in other human beings. It's a pleasure that we have when we see their virtue. That's love. If you love anyone, you track it down, you'll see that you take pleasure in their honesty, in their strength, in their whatever it is that they have that's virtuous. That's your pleasure. That's what love is about. One of the ways we get a fellow to stick around a little bit so we have a chance to talk to him is we ask him, if you get married, you want to love the girl? He says, yeah. Well, you don't want to be infatuated. He says, no. Would you marry a girl when you know you're infatuated? That's not good practice. Yeah? You ever notice that when you're infatuated, you think you're in love? Always, right? So how do you know when you're in love? Americans go along with a theme. I'm sure you heard it. Love is blind. Mistake. Infatuation is blind. If you, Sam, find a girl and you think she's perfect, she's absolutely perfect. There's no fault. nothing wrong with her, then you can be 100% sure you're infatuated. Because there ain't no such creature, right? Love sees faults with a magnifying glass. You want me to prove it to you, John? Who sees your faults more than anyone else? Who loves you more than anyone else? Our parents love us more than anyone loves us. Boy, do they see our faults. They want to get rid of them. Tell you, don't be lazy. Don't be stubborn. They always give me advice, right? If you're indifferent with someone and you see his fault, you say, let him keep it, yeah? If you love him and you see a fault, you want to get rid of it. If you identify the person with his virtue, you love him. You see the fault as an aberration. See, if you ask a man, do you love your son? Yeah, that's the easiest love. It's children. You say, you love your son? Yeah. What do you love about your son? So he'll mention all the virtues that he can think of, right? He's intelligent. He's full of vitality. He's kind. He's so well-behaved. He's a sweet boy, right? All the virtues you can think of. So you say to him, well, isn't it true that your son is a hypochondriac? You can't say, yeah, I love him. He's such a hypochondriac. What you say is, well, you know, he was sickly. Yeah, you got to understand. He fell into a bad pattern. Yeah, you excuse the faults and you identify with the virtues. So, clarity, we're on ohuv, to be loved. That means that you have to arrange that you are identified with pleasure in the eyes of your fellow man. You've got to give them pleasure so that they identify you as a source of pleasure. Okay, so number four is appreciate. We have pleasure in giving pleasure. See, our syndrome is that I want the pleasure. Yeah, so, good. If you focus on the fact that you have pleasure when you give people pleasure, then you will do it a little more often. Yeah? B of this is, focus on the fact that it's a very deep pleasure to give people the pleasure of having pleasure in our essence and loving us. Your parents love you, that's your pleasure. They have pleasure in your essence, in your virtue, in you, in your being, and that is your pleasure. Number five is, so how do we give people pleasure? How do we get them to love us, right? So the first thing that we say is, give people pleasure, any type of pleasure, material or spiritual, with no strings attached. You give pleasure with no strings attached, they will focus on you as a source of pleasure, and they will love you. Any type of pleasure. Say good morning to them, because it lifts their spirit. No strings attached. Don't ask them, don't wait for a good morning or for recognition. And little by little, they'll look forward to your good morning, and they will love you. Number six is, to make it real and to learn a whole list of ways of doing it, a whole set of techniques, is A, make a list of the people you love. There are some people you love, right? Make a list. Your brother, sister, your mom, your dad, friend, people that you love, that you have pleasure in. Yeah? B is study them and ask yourself, what do I take pleasure in them? You love them, that means that you have pleasure. Love your father because he's decent, because he's strong, because he loves you, because he's always ready to help. C is, ask yourself, how did you come to identify them with these virtues? Where did you see it? How did it operate? How did it get across to you that your father is always willing to help you? Because he helped consistently. That's the way you'll get other people to realize you're always willing to help. Yeah. That's something he said. Why do you take pleasure in your brother? Because he's full of humor. Why? Because in situations that he jokes. Yeah? Okay, this is a way to give other people pleasure. You understand? You learn from the fact that you have had pleasure how to give other people pleasure and how to get it across to them. Number seven, the most individually effective way of being loved in Judaism, we say, is love others. If you love you will be loved. The Bible says, the Torah says, "Kamayim ponim el ponim kein lev ha'adam." Like a water reflects a face, so does the heart of man. If you smile at someone, they smile back. If you frown, they frown back. If you threaten, they threaten back. That is the heart of man. So if you love, they love you back. So be of this is, there's one caution, there's one difference. You love others, it's your pleasure. But there are many parents who love their children and are willing to sacrifice their lives for their children, who are despised, hated, and avoided. Is that right? How come? There's one thing you got to make sure of, that you project your love, you make it known. The children are getting the wrong message. They see the criticism, they see the condemnation, they don't see the love that is behind it. If they see the criticism, they get the wrong message. Do you understand? So always be sure that you're projecting, you're letting people know your pleasure in them, your love. Does that make sense? Otherwise, they get the wrong message, they get lost. They don't always trust you when you say, "I love you." Yeah. You have to show the interest. You have to see to it that the message is gotten, that you are taking pleasure in their essence, you love them, you feel pleasure in their being. And when that message is across, you will be loved in return. You won't have children who rebel against you. You won't have problems with your wives or your husbands. You have to project that love. That's the difference between just fulfilling a commandment. You're fulfilling the commandment if you just love. You can love others without being loved in return. Little infants, we love them. They'll eat your nose. You know? They don't have to be loved in return. They're gorgeous. We love them. We take pleasure in their beauty. So we got the pleasure, but they don't know the pleasure of being loved unless you show it to them. All right, number eight is that next to loving is the greatest. If you love someone, you will be loved back. It's guaranteed. But next to that is treat human beings as human beings, as if they're real, and you will be loved. Human beings are dying to be treated as realities, to be seen, not to be ignored. If you pay attention to people, they will love you. It's their pleasure. So A of this is, treat human beings with consideration. Be considered. Think of others, of where they are, of what they need, of what they're doing, and you will be loved. B of this is, be concerned with others. You see, considerate means don't step on someone's toes. If he's writing, say, "I see I'm disturbing you, pardon me, I'll move away." That's considerate, don't intrude. But be concerned. You see, someone is down, he's worried, he's got a problem, share with them, they will love you. Yeah. Because it means that you treat them as another human being. C of this is, the least costly, the least effort, and the most effective of these three, is be appreciative of other people's good points. There are many times that we take pleasure, we see somebody doing something nice, and we enjoy it. We keep quiet. That's silly. Tell them, "Yeah, you know, that was a beautiful shot. That was a wonderful way of expressing yourself." Compliments buy people's souls. Yeah.
Have you run the risk of being considered nasty or sobbing?
The point is made. The people look at you. Nobody gives me compliments. What's with you? Yeah. You understand? And he says that people, you'll get a name being the schmaltzy Joe. Yeah. It's all right, but everybody will invite you to their parties. You'll be schmaltzy Joe, but they'll hang around your doorstep, schmaltzy Joe. They don't know how to live with honest compliments. They don't get that many, but they sure will appreciate it. D is, flattery will get you everywhere. Yeah? Flattery, people have made fortunes by learning how to be good flatterers. Yeah? It is forbidden. Jewish wisdom says, don't do it. It costs you too much. It costs them too much. It is a forbidden thing to do. Flattery is when you're giving with strings attached. You see, flattery can be honest compliments, but you're doing it to manipulate people. Chanifa is considered one of the things. If you're a chonif, you're not going to get to heaven. That's flattery. Even if it's honest, but if it's with a string attached. You see, if you say, hey boy, that's a terrific shirt you got there. Can you lend me some money? The best way of going about doing business, yeah? But forbid. Give it because you want to give a person honest appreciation. That's all. Okay, number 9 is another way. A simple way is just give people pleasure by being friendly, hello, helpful, pitch in willingly. He has a task. Give people the pleasure of doing them favors, of putting out for others, wholeheartedly. All of this with no strings attached. But it turns you into a beloved human being. Do you see that? B of this is, always remember, it's your pleasure to give people pleasure. Why? Why be stingy? If you focus on the fact that you're helping someone, he needs a favor, you help them with his bag, you give him a good morning, a warm welcome, friendly, how are you, open, pigeon, it's your pleasure. Yeah.
When you have a habit of doing things with strings attached, I think it's an easy habit.
The question is, as if a person has got a bad habit of manipulating people, of demanding a return, how do you get rid of that? Well, I would say that learn how to give to strangers and you'll never see again. So you'll get rid of that. You see somebody in the street, you say, good morning. You're going to say, well, maybe I'll meet him around the corner and I'll get him a good morning back, you know. If it's pretty obvious that you're not going to get anything, it will get you into the pleasure for its own sake. Yeah? If you see a fault, there's ways of getting rid of it in the 48 ways. That's what the 48 ways is about. Number 10 is, there's another way of being loved, and that is to bring gifts. Gifts, not tokens and not souvenirs, but gifts. What's the difference between a gift and a souvenir? You bring back an ashtray with Israel on it, that's a souvenir, right? What's a gift?
Something meaningful.
With thought. Something that you have reason to believe will give someone else pleasure. A souvenir, a token, is trying to buy people. But if you're thinking of someone, and you attach, you know his interests, you know what he's like, you like stamps, you like this, whatever people like, yeah? And you carry it around and you see something that he would like, or she would like, right? And you bring it for them, that is consideration embodied long term. Whenever they see it, they say, he thought of me. And every time they use it, they know you love them. They know you thought about them. And it gives them renewed pleasure in you, change your life. C of this is, that don't wait until the end of the trip to get your gifts. Then you do it haphazardly. You buy something. You're buying a token. Price tags. They'll like it. They won't like it. You go on a trip. You know that you have to show that you thought of them. Start right from the start. Yeah. D of this is, always have a list of what people like. The ones who are close to you. What do they like? So then when you come across something, it clicks. Alright, so number 11 is, particularly applying this for wisdom. For wisdom, the best gifts are bought in which kind of a store? A wisdom store, right? That's the best gifts. They last longest. They really give pleasure forever. A piece of wisdom, the right piece of wisdom, can change a human being's life. Give him pleasure for eternity. So B of this is, ask yourself, what would your friend or father or mother or wife or sister or brother, what would they enjoy from the wisdom store? What would they use? It takes work, the right gift. What would be appreciated? Look, your parents are warriors. Teach them how to get rid of worry. But you can't teach. That's not a gift. We'll say the last thing is the most important part in a gift of wisdom is the gift wrapping. You see? If you're going to teach people, then you're correcting them and then you're aggravating them, right? But if you gift wrap it right, yeah, then you're giving them the most wonderful gift. See if this is make lists with consideration and awareness of their interests and their needs. What do people need and what are they interested in? What would they appreciate? D of this is that it's very, very important to take the trouble of gift wrapping. Without the gift wrapping, gift wrapping makes the difference between an insult and a gift. Yeah? For example, you know, you're one of these people that really needs the happiness game. I picked it up in Jerusalem. Teach you how to be happy. Now you've just insulted the person terribly. You got it? You understand that? Now, if you just wrap that happiness game in a little different wording, and you say, you know, I appreciate that you are always interested in new ideas. And when they're really far out, you are particularly fascinated. I found that happiness game. Now, it's an altogether different thing. Do you understand? It's how you wrap it. You tell them, you need the happiness game. I picked it up here. You're going to get your head handed back to you, yeah? And you're not giving anybody any gifts. But if you wrap it right, you wrap it according to their interest, and you give them what they are interested in, you've given them a gift, you were considerate, you thought of them, and it's something, if you give it right, and they use it, enrich them the rest of their lives, and they will appreciate you. Number 12 is that every piece of wisdom that you got, think in terms of how do I get my friend to take pleasure in this? They say, you want to do something? You know what? Why don't you go down the hall and tell that guy who's depressed, you know? Tell him that you came to help clean up his room. Let's see what happens. Try it out. Get him into it. Get him into the pleasure of giving. Now, every one of the 48 ways and every piece of wisdom is a tool of giving people pleasure. Learn how to focus on it. You'll appreciate what wisdom is about. And you will be beloved. You'll be a fascinating human being. People are fascinated with living if it's made easy to use. Yeah. Number 13 is, when you teach other people wisdom, there are times that you'll be teaching, yeah, be sure that you're giving them pleasure. Take the trouble, be considerate enough to see whether you're boring him, whether you're putting him to sleep, whether you're aggravating him, whether they're disturbed by what you're saying. You understand? Take the time, be considerate, and make sure that they're enjoying it, that they feel some interest. If not, change the subject or give up teaching. So B of this is that the pleasure can be in your interest. If you don't have pleasure, you're not going to give them pleasure. You've got to relive your teaching. If you're there and you're reciting and somewhere else, your mind wanders, yeah? You're wishing you were some other place, don't teach. You have to take pleasure. The pleasure is got to come out. Yeah, then you can be considerate. See if this is that the same thing goes. If you really want to learn from wise men, you've got to give them pleasure in your study by giving them appreciation, by being attentive, showing that you understand. They'll give. Yeah. If you don't give them appreciation, you say, all right, next student. Yeah. Number 14 is that for living, be sure that your parents, your beloved, give them appreciation, give them consideration, show them your love. You can't imagine how much you will get from that. Same thing goes with your children, with your wife, with your brothers, your sisters. Show them appreciation. Do these things. And your associates. Business associates. Give them appreciation, give them love, give them affection, give them warmth. What you learn, that's for living. Very powerful. But with a wife, that's it. Okay, number 15 is that, look, the final thing that we got to say about this is that to give pleasure, you see, in America they used to have a saying that everyone loves a lover. It's not true. Thanks. You know what everyone loves? A winner. A man who's happy. A man who's elevated. A man who's with joy. Do you understand that? Everybody loves a person full of life. That's the final virtue of it all. A winner. A lover is a guy who's up. He's with it. He's, life is great. It's a pleasure to be with him. It's when you see a man who's full of joy, vitality, strength, we're drawn to him like moth to a light. So be full of vitality, joy, appreciation of the beauties of existence. And you will be passing pleasure wherever you pass. Tall order, huh? See if this is that if you can't manage that, at least be cheerful, zestful, optimistic, smiling. Pass around good cheer. Do you understand that? Be positive. People like positive people. It's a pleasure to be with positive people. When people smile, people are optimistic, people are still in touch with the possibilities of living. Do you understand? That's the very least you can do. See if this is, at least be pleasant. Don't be contrary. Don't be negative. Don't be pessimistic. People remove themselves. They don't want nothing to do with you. Yeah. All right, the last thing that we have to say over here is number 16 is, if you want to be beloved, don't give people pain. Right? Now, the pain of pessimism, gloom bug, people run the other way. Yeah? Did you ever travel through Europe with a gloom bug? Awful experience, right? People run the other way. Don't give people any pain. Be of this is, accept with consideration, with knowing whether or not it will work. Don't tell me that it's for their good if you haven't taken the trouble to figure out whether they can use your advice. Don't say that you're trying to help people when you're telling them something that you know darn well they can't use. They wouldn't know how to use it. Yeah? If you're really concerned for people, sincerely concerned, then when you give criticism, make sure that you take the trouble to figure out what they can do in their state of mind and being to correct what you're warning them about. Does that make sense? If you do so, then you will be beloved for criticism. If not, you'll be hated. Do you see that? If you consider it, if you really care, you want to help people, and you have it worked out in their frame of mind, they'll take the pain with an appreciation that you mean their benefit. Okay, now why do we need this? Why is this necessary? So number one, life is pleasure. Giving pleasure is your pleasure. You want to be with it? Give pleasure. That's the first thing. B of this is that every one of us appreciates deep down within us that even our career choices has an element of helping humanity. Guy wants to be a lawyer because he wants to help humanity. He wants to be a doctor, he wants to help humanity. All right, it's a nice way of making a living, it's prestigious, but wants to help humanity. Yeah, it's there. Sociologist, a businessman, wants to help humanity. Underneath it all, it's there. So B of this is, don't postpone. Help them now. Yeah? Take the pleasure of giving pleasure. Why wait until you're a successful lawyer, until you made your money, so that you take one case? Yeah? Help the people down the street. Say good morning. That's also help. Cheer them up. Give them pleasure.
If someone asks you, how do you feel? You feel lousy. Oh, fine.
Don't say, oh, fine. Say, great.
Great, but you feel lousy.
Say, great.
You're not supposed to say great. You're not supposed to tell them your problems.
No, they don't want to know your problems. You see, if somebody says to you, how do you like my poem? You say, it's dreadful. I've never seen such... This is white lie. Don't be dishonest to deceive people. But just avoid hurting their feelings. The rabbis say if somebody buys something and he asks your opinion, what about my... You should point out the virtues, whatever virtues there are in his, in what he bought. Don't tell him that it's a bad buy. You're crushed. There's an old saying that you learn when you can't see virtues. You see, one of your friends gets married and has a child, you know, he says, hey, isn't that a gorgeous baby? And you got to say something, right? So you say, oh, what a baby. Yeah. He'll do the rest. You got it? You say, what a book, right? That's all. He'll fill in the rest, you understand? Don't hurt people. Give him pleasure. If it's going to be constructive, you're going to keep him from making a mistake, you're going to keep him from buying material, that, then you tell him that, look, friend, you know, you got good judgment right now. This stuff is no good, yeah? Number two is, it's necessary because this is the simplest way out of a dreadful disease that we human beings have, and that's the disease of narcissistic self-involvement. It's a disease. We need other human beings, but we get involved with ourselves and we don't see the world around us. It deadens you to existence. It deadens you to other human beings. Self-adulation. We're just wrapped up with ourselves. My life, my worries, my decisions, my problems, my pleasures, my bum, 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 bum. And we don't see no one. We don't see our brothers, we don't see our sisters, we don't see our cousins, we don't see our aunts, we don't see the people we're talking to. This is a simple way out of it. If we want to live, we've got to break out of our own self-involvement and into living. Number three is accomplish. You'll be wealthy. Do a good job at being beloved. If TWA, Lufthansa, Air France, El Al, American Airlines, if they're all in on it, well, you know, there must be something to it. Be beloved. If Metropolitan Life, New York Life, Macy's Department Store, Gimbel's, everybody's doing it, they must have some good reason. And you will find that if you give people compliments, and if you give them appreciation, and if you give, you will have business opportunities, and if you go into life insurance, they'll buy it from you, right? People will help you. It's success. It's a way of dealing with people. So B of this is that people will relate to you. They will straighten you out. They will correct you if they love you, like your parents do. Do you follow? For wisdom, for living. They'll tell you when you're wrong, if you're beloved. C of this is that people will accept your criticism and will ask for it if you are beloved. So it makes our relationship, it accomplishes whatever you want to do. Money, move people, be moved by people. It sort of smooths the wheel. You understand? Number four is that it goes much deeper. That Mount Sinai, it says in the Torah, it says in the instructions for living, it says there, Vayichan ha'am neged ha'har, that the people rested near the mountain. There's Vayachanu, they rested, and Vayichan, he rested. Yeah? So, Vayichan, the word in Hebrew means the Jewish people were as one individual. And it's the only time it says in the Bible that's singular for the people's action. When they acted in the singular, they rested in the singular, he rested. And the rabbis point out that in order for us to understand wisdom, in order for us to accomplish anything in this world, we need unity. If we were together, if the world was really unified, we'd conquer the universe. The Almighty gave us this world. It's that we fight each other. Be beloved is the strands that ties us together, that makes us unified, that gives us the power of working together. Okay, now, as far as an assignment is concerned, so I would say to you fellas, come on, loosen up. You got 10 friends over here, 10 people you know. Study them for the first half of the day, look around, and give 5 fellas 2 compliments each. See what happens. See whether you got a kick out of it. Whether it write down your response. Did it make you feel good? Was it so terrible? What happened? You know, try it out. Come on, live a little.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.